want to head over to California. There's a little company out there called SpaceX. Want you to board the next flight out on SpaceX. Say, where are we going? We're going up. And on the way out, we're going to pass by the moon. We're going to keep going past the moon. We're going to go past the planets. We're going to... I'm old. It was out, and now it's back in again. Poor guy, he's probably... Just, I don't even know. Like, can you imagine being Pluto? Just the identity crisis that he suffers on a regular basis. Do you love me? Do you love me not? All that. So we passed the last planet, Pluto, and we're just going to keep going for a while, a long while. We're going to work our way out of the Milky Way galaxy. We're going to look back and see nothing that's recognizable anymore. We're going to have to transfer vehicles because I don't think the SpaceX flight can take us nearly that far, nor do we have time. So we're going to have to pick up speed. We're going to go to the end. We're going to go to the end of space. It's cold. It's quiet. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to try tonight. As we took a little bit of a road trip, hope you brought some munchos and maybe some Triscuits. I don't know what you packed for snacks in your vehicle, but we've been in there for some time now. We're going to have to travel faster than the speed of light. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And there, as we get to the end of all space, we enter something called eternity. And now we're standing before the throne of God Himself. And we see Him high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. As we crossed over into the throne room of God, it was no longer quiet, because we hear in verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you again for these that are here. And Lord, thank you for Your word, and Lord, as we open it, God, I pray they would encourage and maybe even sober us up a little bit. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts about Your majesty and Your holiness tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. So as we passed by all known and all measurable space and time, as we got to the end of time, we entered where the Lord dwells, outside of the perimeter of time, because He's eternal. Say, is that really where heaven is? Well, the Bible tells me that heaven is on the sides of the north. North doesn't have a side. It tells me, and we're going to look at these verses a little bit, it's nothing like anything around here. And there's these angelic beings, and look at what we see here out of this passage. If we look at verse 3, one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." I'd like to for a moment, as best as we can, to try and get a picture of this and what this looks like. Tonight's message is on the throne of God. It's a holy throne. And God is, as it says in verse 1, He's seated upon this throne and it's high and lifted up. God is in His rightful position, exalted, high and lifted up. And it says this, it says that His train filled the temple. A king's power was measured by the size of the train that was associated with His throne. And if His throne and if His train fills the temple of God. So now we see this exalted throne, and then we see a powerful throne. And we see God in His, and the whole earth is full of His glory. Look at verse 5. It says, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I don't know what the person of God the Father looks like. But I can imagine if the throne looks like this, it's magnificent. He's exalted and worshipped. About Him are these seraphims, and they have six wings. Two cover their face, and two they cover their feet, and with two they do fly. And these are the ones that are around it, and they just cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." He's exalted. He's worshipped. He's powerful. And He's glorified. It's sad how we as people in our minds get a picture of this, because it could never do it justice. Even when you read the book of Ezekiel and he tries to describe it, there's no words for it. Isaiah pretty much just 100% altogether just completely gives up just by seeing it. Not have any interaction with it. He just gets a glimpse of it. And he says, "I give up. Woe is me, for I am undone," he says. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because I just saw something unlike anything I've ever seen. I saw the glory and the holiness of God. Exalted how it should be," and he just gives up. God didn't speak to him. God didn't come down. He just got a glimpse of it, and he says, "I'm undone." The throne of God is an exalted throne, but it is also a powerful throne. From this throne room is where all power comes from. Because God controls it all. So from this source, from this, again, I don't want to say chair because that's what I think, but from this seat is all power. I'm stuck to this earth. I mean, I could jump up for a moment, but then I drop back down because of what happens at that throne. This earth spins at the rate in which it does because of what happens at that throne. Christ died on the cross because of what happens at that throne. Kingdoms are fought over because of what happens at that throne. Galaxies are held because of what happens at that throne. The sun continues because of what happens at that throne. The The hairs on my head are known because of what happens at that throne. The amount of grains of sand on this earth are counted and kept by what happens at the throne. There's a book held at that throne. There's one who writes names. Name after name. Sealing their place in all of eternity. There's a set of keys to death and hell that Christ died for. And it all happens at that throne. So what does it look like? I don't know, but it took Isaiah's complete countenance and changed it. Revelation chapter 4. See, I sure wish he could describe it a little bit better. Well, he's going to try here. Revelation chapter 4. More is said about the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4 than any other passage in the Scriptures. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. Look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. I looked those up. What do they look like? It's tough because jasper can come in multiple different colors. So maybe he used them all, I don't know. But it's this like opaque reddish color. Same thing with the sardine stone. They're red, reddish. Kind of like a burnt color. Some say there's a green jasper stone also. I don't know, it doesn't say red or green. It just says jasper. And it says this, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. Now, this is the part that doesn't make sense to me. Zeke, what colors are in the rainbow? Do you know? Red, good. Blue. It's helpful if you go in order. Like, I lost track. Like, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, right? Roy G. Biv, right? Are we good? That is the rainbow. And what does he say? Liken unto a what? Emerald. What of those colors? What color is an emerald? Well, how is a rainbow like an emerald? I don't know. He's doing his best to describe something that has never been seen and been able to be talked about. He's describing something that's indescribable. It's like it's made out of a jasper and sardine stone. So this giant precious stone that he's seated upon, it's not like wood with nice embroidery. God is seated upon this red, opaque, and then behind him comes out this rainbow that somehow transpires into this glorious green light. And don't forget about the seraphim, because they're still there. I think the Lord makes it very clear of where this is. The throne was set in heaven. That means one day I'm going to see it. There's maybe a site around the world that before I die, I'd like to go see maybe the Grand Canyon. Anybody ever see the Grand Canyon? Anybody want to see the Grand Canyon? Absolutely. No, if you get a chance, go see it. It's amazing. Don't even try and take a picture. It doesn't work. The thing that you take a picture of and that you're looking at does not compare. Buy the postcard, say you took the picture. I'd like to see that one. Well, maybe you'll get there, maybe you won't. Do you know one day we're going to see this? One day we're going to approach that throne and see the glory of God in its fullest. I'd like to think I have some questions that I would like answered. But I also think that when I see that, I have a feeling that I'm not going to be able to. Not for lack of opportunity, but because I'm going to be undone. Much like Isaiah, I'm going to have no words. I won't be able to speak because of the magnificence of what I'm looking at. Unlike anything ever before and ever after. The glory of God in its fullest, sitting upon this opaque red giant throne with a rainbow that somehow transpires into an emerald, like unto an emerald. Emerald's a beautiful green. And I don't know how a rainbow, how lights of, I don't know, maybe it's shooting out in rainbow color and then it dissipates into green. Maybe that's the color of it. Emerald City. I don't know. Where is that from? Wizard of Oz. That's what it is. I don't know. Maybe emerald and gold go really well together. And it's just going to look, it's going to look amazing. It's going to be heavenly. In verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them two wings about him. It's going to sound very similar to what we read in Isaiah. And they were full of eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. God inhabits and is the source of eternity. I was talking to Becca. I'm like, hey, how's school going? She's like, the other day, my first class, the first statement that they made was, God has always been. And she's like, poof. She goes, I was done. That was my first thought for the first class. She's like, I couldn't even. Like, and she's talking about her teacher. She's like, dude, what are you doing to me? Like, how do I? God, which was and is to come. And there we enter the throne room of God, who maintains eternity. Everything I know has a beginning and an end. Everything. And I can wrap my head around living forever, but have always been. That's the hard concept for me to get. Well, where'd you come from? I've always been. But I have a feeling, as he sits upon the throne, with the angelic host around him, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, I'll look at that and say, I understand now. I can't understand it here because everything here breaks down. Everything here has a source. But when I understand this, when I view eternity, because that's what God is, He's eternal. When I look at it, I bet it'll make sense. How far back does this train go? How far back does the throne go? How big is that throne? I'm not sure if this is a measurement, but real big. In verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I almost feel like this happens over and over again. We talked, I think it was last week or so, maybe it was, about certain things we never want to get old or get over. I don't think God in all of His majesty we could ever get over. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. See, I'm so glad I chose to go on this road trip. Oh, me too. I'm glad you're here. As we travel through the Scriptures and see... No, we're seeing what God wants us to know about His throne. There's more to it, I bet. Because there's no words to describe it. So some of it we'll just have to wait and see. I like this. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 18. And again he said, Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon His throne, and all the host of heaven standing on His right hand and on His left. How big is that room to hold the entire host of heaven? And if God is how I think He is, it's ordered. So it's not just a mass of beings. It's a line after line after line, depth, width, on both sides. It says, all the host of heaven standing on His right hand and on His left. So not only do we have this magnificent throne, God in His full glory and majesty, the seraphim that are circling about, crying, Holy, 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 the rainbow that's coming out that somehow changes into the light of emeralds, but the entire host of heaven to His right and to His left. In ordered pairs, in ordered lines, worshiping. The company of all will be there. You know, the Bible reminds us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There certainly are loved ones that I'm excited to see in heaven. I don't mean any disrespect, but I wonder if they're standing there looking at that, if they even remember me. But they're there. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. In verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. These are just facts, statements, not up for discussion. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. No, God is everywhere. He is in the trees. God is sitting upon His throne. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. And there He sits in His perfect righteous judgment. And He's watching. He's watching you and me, the children of men. And He's interested in what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're behaving. And He's taking note. Sometimes we'll be in the car and the kids will be acting up. Anyone else's kids do that? And I'll make a statement. When we get home, you're in trouble. But it was like 5 minutes into our ride. And, you know, we're coming from my dad's house. And he lives a good 40 minutes away. And by the time I get home, they fell asleep. And they get out of the van. And Hudson will, you know, look at him. And we'll get home. And the van door opens. And he'll say something like, "Dad, do I even have to get my pajamas on? I'm so tired. Can I just go to bed?" It's like, yes, absolutely. Just go to bed. It's late. It's 10:30. And I forgot that he was in trouble. It's like, forget it. God and his eyes are watching the children of men. And one day we'll stand before that perfect righteous judge. Is he going to forget? He won't forget a thing. Say, uh-oh. I hope it's not oh for you. I hope when you get there, Lord, you saw that? Yes, here's your reward. I wasn't doing it to... Yeah, I know, that's why you got a crown. And there we are standing with the host of heaven on either side. And the seraphim crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And we're now discussing, and he's talking with us and interacting with us because he's been watching us. Say, how does he keep track of 7.4 billion people in the world? He's God. And he can. Because he's not like you and I. He's holy and magnificent. And all-powerful. And he's the judge of all. Don't think for a moment people can do wrong and get away with it. And don't think for a moment you can do right and get away with it. God sees. He sees it all. His eyes behold, his eyelids try. What does that mean? Sometimes I squint a little bit to look further. I feel like that's what he does. He's watching. Oh. Look at that. Hey, Gabriel, listen to that. Oh, isn't that sweet? Hey, save those tears. As he's watching, all of a sudden he squints a little bit through his eyelids, right? Isn't that what that means? I don't know. That's what I think. Beholding the children of men. It's you and I. He's not watching the angels. He's watching you and I. And we think that our judgment of mankind will be better than God's judgment of mankind. No, that's why he tells us, "Let me be the judge, because I see it all, and I know it all, because I'm the judge of all." Lastly, Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 19. "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever." Lamentations. If you have a Schofield Bible, 839, if that helps you out. That's the page. Oh, wait a minute. "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation." Ten years ago, I was not very happy with how the election went. Man got in the office who socially I disagreed with. I thought, well, that's all right. 4 years, we'll get him out. And another 4 years came and he won. But I could hold on to this and 4 years more, he cannot win. But then I saw who could, and it made me nervous. But I knew even if she won, 4 or 8 more years later, they're out. There's only one throne that lasts forever. And that is the throne of God. Thy throne from generation to generation. Let's look at a couple more verses, both in Psalm 93, in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. How long ago, in years from now, how long ago was David? Anybody know? From now? How many? 3,000 years ago. And if David penned these words, the Lord reigneth, whenever anybody reads Psalm 93, it is true. When David wrote it, it was true. When John read it, it was true. When you and I read it today, it is true. And 10 generations from now, when they read Psalm 93, the Lord reigneth, it is true. Because his throne lasts forever. He is clothed with majesty. That's what he wears. He wears majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also he established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne established of old, thou art from everlasting. You began at everlasting, he says. Lamentations 5:19 tells us that he goes from generation to generation. Last verse, Psalm 45. Psalm 45 and verse 6. Now it's just, before we read this, think about it. We got in our little car, we drove out to California, we grabbed the space shuttle, we transferred, we got to the end of space and time. And there we are before the throne of God. And as we approach, the noises get louder and louder and louder as the angels and the angelic host are crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. As we get closer, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter till we beheld the glory of God seated upon the jasper and sardon throne with the rainbow that transfers into the emerald light. And on the right, the full half of the host of heaven. And on the left, the other host. In ordered pairs, row by row by row. And then we approach. And we see him. And what is he wearing? The Bible tells us he wears majesty and all strength. And then we come to Psalm 45. And it says in verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And that scene lasts forever. "The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." It's good and it's right. And that's who we serve. That's who we worship. That's who we sing to. Yes, sir. That's who we talk about. And that's who saved us. Tonight we sang a song, "He's Still on the Throne." Oh, he's still on the throne. He reigneth. And there'll never be a time when that isn't true. God reigns. Our God reigns. And it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. We've never seen such majesty. We've never seen such power. We've never seen such glory and holiness. And it's going to last forever. So much so that when Isaiah saw it, he couldn't even speak. He just yielded. Whatever you want to do with me, I'll do it. Not because of God's booming voice, just for a moment, he saw the throne. I pray that we, in our mind and in our hearts, can see the throne of God for a moment. That it would somehow, we would somehow grab a hold of that and recognize that that throne is forever and ever. Let's all stand together.